We are back.
Yep. We're going to give this another shot. Apparently, people are still listening.
They are. Hi, Mom. We're back to that, aren't we?
James Richard.
Are you drinking again?
Didn't stop, Ma. Didn't stop. So today, I thought we would talk about one of my favorite. It's not really an oddball ingredient, but it certainly isn't common. Spruce tips. And you're tired of hearing me say, we should talk about spruce tips.
All the frickin' time. And as an aside here, so, you know, we've got a whole bunch of ingredients over time we're going to talk about. And we wanted to jump into this one again because it's, you know, I think the way to get James to stop mentioning something is to let him get it out of his system. I could be wrong. It could make it worse. But if you've got particular ingredients you'd like to hear the history of or why they do what they do, please reach out to us through the website at hopnology.com and let us know. And we will absolutely, you know, slot that into the agenda here, because this is part of the fun, is really understanding some of the history and the ways of using some of these more interesting ingredients.
Yeah, and we're both researchers too, right? So we will run to ground as much information as we can research on any weird esoteric ingredients or beer styles. So feel free to give us a challenge.
Yeah, and that includes book research. It's not just drinking everything we can get our hands on, which is part of it.
Well, you know, and some of these beers probably haven't been brewed in a long time, or if I have to go back to the Amazon basin to find some sort of weirdo tribal drink, I'll do it. But last time I did that, it didn't work out so good.
Yeah, I don't know that it has the statute of limitations been reached. Can you go back?
That's a good question. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, we're going to talk about spruce tips today.
Spruce tips.
Yeah. Like, why in the hell would you put pine needles in beer? We're not talking about pine. We're talking about spruce. Get your frickin' plant family straight, okay? Spruce tips themselves, and specifically, it's the very young tips, growing tips, that come out in the early spring on green and blue and black spruce trees. And you'll see them, they're usually very vibrant, bright lime green colored compared to the darker, more waxy or grayish green of the older needles. And these new needles are erupting from buds that were set last summer or so. They're usually covered in, just when they start to break out, they're usually covered in this like brown papery, looks like bark, because it is bark, kind of bud wrapping. You're going to see these again in the early spring when you start to get out of that late winter. In Wisconsin right now, it's end of March, and we're probably going to start to see spruce tips popping here in probably another week and a half. And it goes quick. I mean, this does not, you know, go on for a long time, maybe a few weeks before these really soft green, bright green needles harden off into more mature needles. So we gotta be quick.
And you say there's a short window there. Is there a storage ability here? I mean, can they be picked and stored and used effectively?
Oh, they absolutely could be picked and stored, and they will, you know, freeze them. You know, chuck them in a, ideally, if you were, you know, the gold standard for storage would be to vacuum seal them and freeze them. But they could be frozen, absolutely. The compounds that are in these needles are, you're like, well, isn't it like pine? Spruce and pine are different. However, for those geeks out there who do want to know the oil composition, it's mostly alpha pinene. It's about 40% alpha pinene, and about between 30 and 35% beta pinene. So add those up, it's mostly pinene. So that's the reason why it smells like it does. But there's also limonene in there, D-limonene, which is the same limonene that's in citrus fruit. There is carinine that's present in caraway seeds, and beta phenylalanine is the primary odorant in fennel seeds. So you get a really unique mashup of aroma compounds in this little spruce tip that can be very distinctive. But like everything with spices and adjuncts and herbs and stuff in your beer, you can go way overboard with this. So you want to, you know, a little bit can go a long way. You don't want to create this overpowering Pine Sol character in your beer, which can happen pretty quick. Yeah, so you can simply go out and pinch these growing green tips off of spruce trees. The ones that's in your yard, the one that's in the park. Obviously, disclaimers about, you know, don't know who sprayed what on those trees, but usually nothing.
I think in every episode we're going to put a disclaimer in there that says you can take stuff from your yard. Make sure you know what you're taking.
Yeah. We're not going to try and fool you into, you know, making something that's poisonous, obviously. But certainly when you're out foraging, know your plants. Mm-hmm. Be sure what you're putting in there. To my knowledge, there's no risk of false identifying a spruce and anything that might be potentially harmful. So you can rest assured this is an easy one, a safe one.
I'm going to continue to reference iocane powder as the potential.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had a spruce tip beer?
You know, I don't think I have. To your point, they're not easy to come by.
No. And, well, certainly for commercial brewers, where are you going to get bulk spruce tips? That's why a lot of these beers just don't get brewed, because where do you get this stuff?
So in terms of finding something, you know, we're nationally or internationally that's got spruce tips in it, as you said, it's few and far between. They're not common. I'm finding one from Harpoon Brewery, which is up here by me in Connecticut, but they're actually Boston and Vermont. They're around. They have a spruce tip ale. It's an amber. We mentioned ambers before. And it says flat out here, citrus and pine forward hop varieties, dark and crystal malts, and most importantly, an abundance of whole spruce tips.
Yeah, and I know that here in Wisconsin, there's a brewery called Black Husky, and they have one that is very popular. And I've seen them in like white ales as well. Again, the very light-bodied beers that allow that to shine through and not be, allow the spruce essence to shine through and not be kind of conflicting or fighting with it.
Yeah, so you can find them. It's few and far between. Few and far between, certainly, but something worth trying. This one even says, crisp like Vermont forest air in
there
October. So a flavor described as a season.
I've got three spruce trees on my property. It's like the blue spruce is one of the most common landscape trees in the United States. The blue and the green spruce.
Well, you're making it sound like it's in everyone's backyard readily available.
It's not commercially farmed or harvested, right? So everything that you're going to get is, quote, wild, crafted, or foraged, which is perfect for the homebrew skill. Because you can go out and in 20 minutes pick more spruce tips than you would need for, you know, 2 or 3 years worth of brewing. But there's a word of caution is when you're going out and you're picking these things, you know, keep sustainability in mind, because these are the growing tips for that plant for that season. And when you pinch them off, it's not like it's going to grow another one back. So don't go out and just bare harvest a tree. You know, and when you are going out there, pinch off, you know, from random locations around the plant. Just to make sure.
Very good point. Very good point. And as you said, you know, for a commercial brewer, there are all sorts of regulations and things that prohibit you from using stuff in the yard in your brewing process.
Yeah. Spruce tips are on the approved
use list. Not backyard spruce tips.
Correct. Yeah. You've got to be careful about that. And you can buy prepared spruce tips from some specialty herb and spice, you know, brokers, certainly online now. It's not that big of a deal. You can find them. And, you know, when you do that, you don't know what spruce it came from, because there are differences between black and green and blue spruce. You know, like the blue spruce has a much heavier wax coating on the needles, even the young needles, than, say, a black or a green spruce. So you may have you may need to, you know, put them in the hot side to kind of melt that wax down and extract those aroma compounds, then say something like a green spruce that may be able to be put on the cold side and do the extraction, because the wax is much thinner, cuticle wax. And that's what makes a blue spruce look blue, is this heavy, heavy gray wax on the outsides of those needles. This gives it that blue-gray slate color. It's there to protect that needle. But the young needles, the really soft green, They're super soft compared to the really prickly older ones. That's what you're after. And usually, I advise people, you're looking for a spruce tip that's probably no more than probably 2 inches long. Because once they get past that point of elongation, they're going to start to build up some of these really astringent properties and that of from like the, because the wood is turning into bark, and you're going to get more of a harsh, I'll call it harsh pine kind of turpentine essence. Some of these other compounds like phalandrine and carrion and limonene are going to diminish as these needles harden off and become more mature. And so you're going to get more and more and more of this alpha and beta pinene, which is going to turn it into pine sol if you're not careful. So get them young. You know, I wouldn't pick them if they're any smaller than maybe a half or three quarter of an inch. They're just too small yet. And wait 2 days and they'll be like an inch and a half long. Then go out and start pinching them off. When you're harvesting them, I mean, you could take little tiny hand clippers and snip them off if you want. But the tissue, the bark should be really the wood. It's not even wood yet. You should just be able to pinch it off with your thumb and your finger. Pinch and twist, and it should pop right off.
So that's how you get them. You'd asked me earlier if I had anything with spruce in it, and I don't believe I have. What about you? What kind of sensory are you getting from something like that?
So it depends on the beer you put it in. And typically you would see these in, I don't think I've ever had them in like a dark beer, like a stout or porter or, you know, anything with a really robust base, because the aroma is really delicate. Again, unless you just put shit tons of them in, or you put in mature spruce boughs, right? B-O-U-G-H. Entire branches, which is a whole other brewing style where you put the branches in the bottom of the, it could be in the bottom of the mash tun, it could be in the bottom of the fermenter even, and
I'm picturing myself in my kitchen with my kettle and just these branches, bringing branches into the kitchen. My wife going, what in God's name is happening here?
Yes. And that's what happens. And I have experienced that with my homebrew friends. They're like, okay, well, we're going to go get these. So you come with me and we'll bring your little pruner saw out. We'll cut off some spruce boughs and bring them into your basement. And don't worry about us, honey. We're just... Nothing to see. Move along. but you'll see them in lighter beers. If you know, historically, now you think evergreen trees, you know, you think like Scandinavian countries. Mm-hmm. And you would be right. That's kind of the origin of this brewing ingredient. And it predates hops in brewing by 1,000 years. I mean, this is something that's been being added to mead for centuries and centuries. And it's not new. You know, it's just not a new thing. You look at some of these, you know, Finnish beer styles, traditional sati. Typically, that's like juniper berries. But again, it's the same compounds that you're pulling out. And it wouldn't be at all surprising if a sati or even a farmhouse ale was strained through spruce boughs as a way to help clarify the beer. And as you're doing that, you're obviously pulling some of that essence into the finished product. And more than likely, the ancient Scandinavians, Vikings, you name them, were drinking fermented product with spruce in it. Absolutely. There was some conjecture that for some of you beer historians out there, there's some talk about, oh, spruce beer saved such and such expedition from scurvy because of, you know, spruce's tips are high in vitamin C. Yeah, they do have a considerable amount of vitamin C in them, but most of that's destroyed in the brewing process, so you're not going to really get anything out of it. There's very little vitamin C left, certainly if you're putting it on the hot side. On the cold side, you might get some extraction, but it's going to be pretty low. So this whole idea of spruce beers saving you from scurvy is kind of bullshit. But if it makes you feel good about yourself, then go for it. Look, honey, I don't need to eat citrus. I'm drinking spruce beer.
This is my orange juice replacement this morning.
Mm-hmm. At least your house will smell nice.
That is true.
Smell like you just got your car washed. A little spruce, pine scented spruce thingy hanging in your rear view.
Oh, gee, do they still make those little trees?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's spruce tips. But how do you brew with these things? Like, how many do I need? Where do I put them? All that good kind of stuff. It depends.
Oh, boy.
So, again, we talked about the waxy cuticle on these things. And so if you really want a kick in the teeth, you know, like robust spruce, you know, go for older boughs or limbs or sections, older needles, and you're going to need to put those on the hot side. These are volatile compounds, right? These terpenes, pinenes, and whatnot. And so, but they're relatively heat stable compared to some of the stuff we deal with in hops, where they're, you know, super delicate, or some of the other botanicals we're going to talk about, certainly anything coming out of a flower. But alpha and beta pinene are fairly heat stable, although they are volatile. So the more you boil them or heat them, the more you're going to flash off. If you're using older needles, then I would put them in the boil or on the hot side for sure, even at knockout, and just let your wort at that point cool down. Certainly you can imagine that these things being out in the wild have all sorts of critters growing on them, wild yeast and all sorts of things that you may not want to have spoil your beer. So if you're going to use them on the cold side and you're not going to, you know, not going to sanitize them in on the hot side, then you certainly need to give them a lovely bath in vodka and, you know, like 40% 80 proof to surface sanitize them. That shouldn't really do much from an extraction standpoint of these compounds, these aroma compounds, so you're really not going to lose anything there. But you'll want to make sure that you sanitize them well, because they will be full of wild yeast and bacteria. You don't want that going on the cold side of your brew.
Nope.
So do that first. Hot side, would it hurt to do that? Yeah, it wouldn't hurt. But do you have to do it? Certainly not if you're putting it in the boil. I would not put it directly in the boil unless you're like at almost ready for knockout, but because you're going to have the potential to extract a lot of unpleasantries on that hot side, but do it that way. Okay. Warm side, is warm side a thing? We're going to go warm side. we're going to call it warm side. The warm, gooey middles. But in general, for your, let's say, 6-gallon, 5-gallon brew, you know, you're not looking at a lot. You're looking at, like, I'd say 3 or 4 ounces.
Was that all?
Of spruce tips. Yeah, you don't need a lot. Again, a little goes a long way. I would say if you're going in for a maltier body, like a heavier amber or a red or something like that, you'll probably want to go on the higher side. But if you're going for a lighter beer, definitely dial it back, because it's going to overpower. You don't want this thing to smell like, you know, Christmas. I don't know. Maybe you do.
You know, so that's an interesting point. And, you know, is it the kind of thing that you would put into one of the more, you know, a Christmassy amber, those types of things that come out that time of year?
Sure. Absolutely. Because if you think historically, and you're going to brew at that time of year, what else, what wild crafted ingredients is one going to find? Very little. Yeah. Well, we got the spruce over here, so we're going to take that. And usually that would take the form of spruce boughs, so it would be much more assertive pine essence, because you're using that older wood, and it would tend to be, because of the bark that's on there, there's a lot of tannins in that bark. You're going to do an extraction on that, so keep that in mind with your malt base if you're using boughs or any of that wood component. But from the tip standpoint, that's certainly more of an early spring thing. It's just like, hey, spring's around the corner, but still, it's so early. There also isn't a lot of wild craftables out there. This is like the only thing. Mm-hmm. So you're going to, you know, that and maybe some bark, birch bark, which is a whole nother episode, using bark in beer. But spruce tips are an easy go-to. They're unique. They add a certainly discernible character to what you're trying to do. And I would encourage you to try it. I'm going to tell you, with all these ingredients, try it. Give it a shot. What do you have to lose? You got nothing to lose.
Are you drinking again?